Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
My name is Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas, on this beautiful Wednesday morning, May 24th, 2017. And I am 17 days away from leaving hostile territory, a.k.a. my home. So, gonna talk about different things today. We'll get into some politics, and since this is my show, and gee, I could talk about anything I want, I think I also want to talk about relationships. And I want to talk about the difference between traditional concepts and this new age business of individuality, basically separatism, and you come together as you feel like it, and you really don't need women today, these feminists, I don't need a man. It's called sologamy or solo gammy. So I want to get into a little bit of that. Starting off with, since we're still hot and bothered, of course, by the Manchester, England massacre, and you know that gets all the headlines, right? Because it was a rock concert of a famous person. I never heard of Ariana Grande personally, because I'm not interested in this modern music garbage. I guess like most of my thought process, I'm stuck in the 80s also, I guess, music-wise, too. So, I've never heard of this Ariana Grande chick. So, I guess, in combination with that, and the fact that, you know, it's Great Britain, and that seems to get more traction, because we in America obviously have a closer connection to Great Britain. And for those of you that think that we actually left the crown 240-something years ago, well, here's what you can do. You can go on Google. You can type in Treaty of Paris, 1783. Pull it up. Do a Control F, as in find. Type in Prince of the United States, and see what you get. And then you decide if, in fact, we ever left Great Britain, or or is that just a story we've been told? And did basically the British Empire on a global scale begin the transfer process from good old Europe onto the new world? You make that decision. So there were other instances now of Islamic terror. Now they took yesterday off. Excuse me. I guess killing 22 people and injuring 119 in Manchester, England, I guess work well done, we can take a break. Well, today, and you know, it's only 10 a.m. Central Time here, but as you know, in the Eastern Hemisphere, if you want to call it that. We're up to what, 20 hours behind, let's say Australia or something. Excuse me. So that ties in to the Philippines. And General Santos, 14 were killed and 50 were injured today. Two bomb blasts targeting Christians along a commercial district leaves 14 dead. Now, on my phone, I get alerts from Fox News. So naturally, when the Manchester massacre happened, my phone lit up, and it's still lighting up. Apparently, the British police are doing a nationwide sweep, and they're making arrests, whether it be in direct connection to the Manchester massacre or Islamic terrorist cells. And now they've decided to give us a show, and it's just how I feel about it. I don't think Britain is sincere in keeping their people safe. Just like, I'm sorry, folks, but I don't regret my vote for Trump. I still hope he does well. I still hope he fulfills the promises. He seems to be looking good, at least on the economic front, and I'm very happy about that. Because ultimately, a wealthy society is a free society. The more money you have in your pocket, the more independent you are, the more in control of your decisions you can make, and the less dependent you are, not just on the government, but you're not dependent on family to loan you money. You're not dependent on friends to loan you money. You don't have to take outrageous personal loans or put yourself in jeopardy. The more cash you have, the more in control of your life. And that's just the way it is here in the 21st century, when we no longer can be self-sufficient through farming or ranching. It's now about the money, because you need the money to get the things that you can no longer get by living off of your land. It's just the way it is. There's no such thing as, let's say, you've got an abundance of corn on your land, and you go to the general store and you trade it in for molasses and wheat so you can make cakes and whatnot. You don't have that luxury. So it's all about the Benjamins. So far on the economic front, I'm pleased overall with the direction Donald Trump is taking. However, I'm not really thrilled with the foreign policy, because quite frankly, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like hearing this, but it really sounds like business as usual from the last four presidents, the two Bushes, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, and it seems like Donald Trump is following suit. That, I don't care how you slice it, it looks like the Trump administration is looking at regime change in Syria. We have the bombing of an empty airfield, but was even worse than that. Forget about the bombing of the airfield. It was the condemnation at the United Nations by Nikki Haley, condemning Bashar Assad and saying that he did the chemical attack on his own citizens without a shred of evidence. No evidence to the contrary, and no reasonable or logical motive. Assad had nothing, he had nothing to gain. Why make an enemy out of Donald Trump when he has pledged to help you get ISIS out of your country? ISIS gets out of your country, you can stabilize your country, and then the world will find out if you will keep your promise, allow free elections, and step down. See, but they're not giving Assad that chance. And then you have the bombing, the wiping out of one of his envoys, because they were 18 miles away from our troops in Syria. So there's your justification, which, you know, second attack on the government of Syria, call me crazy, but I think that benefits the people that want to run them out, and that's ISIS. So it doesn't make sense. So as far as I'm concerned, like Britain, I'm not convinced that our president is trying to protect the American people by bombing stuff thousands of miles away that really, by and large, had no impact whatsoever. It just weakens Assad as showing him he has no support but Russia, which gives ISIS the chance to lick their chops, saying, oh, look, symbolically, America is helping us, still supplying weapons and support to these so-called rebels, which is us, you know. And this is ISIS talking when I say us. And they're bombing Assad's stuff. They're condemning Assad as a bad guy. So, yay. So, we can do more stuff. We can make it look like Assad is doing stuff to his own people. Take him out. We got free reign of the country. Just like Libya. Just like Egypt. Iraq. Afghanistan. Just look at the facts, folks. Just look at the facts. So, I'm not really convinced yet that Donald Trump's or anybody's strategy of just military presence and bombing the enemy is going to do anything when the guy that blew up that Manchester concert hall was British born. He was a British born Libyan who, according to Drudge support, report, which is basically a hub for so many different publications, the son, the father of the bomber, stated that his son made regular trips to Libya. Now, why is that? Why would he make regular trips to Libya? Well, obviously, he's visiting some Islamic compadres, probably getting instruction. They probably gave him the green light, and the rest is history. The rest is history. The second incident of terror today was in Bari, Somalia. 5 people were killed and 12 were injured. 5 people are exterminated by a Shahid suicide bomber. So, we've got 19 dead and 62 injured. In one day, 2 places, basically the same kind of impact as Manchester, England, but you don't hear about that stuff. And the reason being, because in countries like Somalia and Afghanistan, Syria, as I showed you last week, saturated by Islam, 60, 70, 80, 95% Islam, terrorist attacks, not just on Christians, but on fellow Muslims, is commonplace. They happen all the time. So, you know, do you honestly think that CNN, MSNBC, and yeah, even Fox are going to show you every single day that there are massive slaughters all over the world in the name of Allah and Muhammad? No, they're not going to show you that. They also know, and this is a paradox, which, quite frankly, I don't understand. I mean, I know that they're losing, the big three are losing audiences, but yet they have like a 6% trust factor, yet so many millions and millions and millions, most likely the majority of Americans are still watching television, are still watching these three networks. So those three networks know they still have majority control of what the people receive as news. And you throw in the BBC, same thing. So those four affiliates realize that they can put out what news they want you to know. And if you're sitting in front of the TV and you're not on the internet looking at independent sites that are willing to put themselves out there, and yes, do they focus sometimes on one particular aspect? Do they have an expertise? Well, because you need that. How many people are going to sit and watch Fox News for 10, 12 hours straight? Or CNN or MSNBC? Not too many. And you know that they can't focus on one subject all day long because, come on, you know, like anything else, you hear the same story over and over again, you kind of get bored. You need some variety. So they filter what they decide to tell you. Whereas independent affiliates will focus on economics, will focus on investments, and will focus on foreign issues. And this one particular site, religionofpeace.com/attacks, just happens to have a staff or independent people reporting to this hub. This is like a hub as well, reporting of incidents all over the world, and this is where you're going to find it. You're going to find it on the internet, and I feel it is my responsibility to share this with as many people as I can. I feel that's my responsibility. So, if what I'm sharing with you, you find value in it, and you find value in hearing it from me, please spread the word about my show. Download it for other people. Go to my YouTube. Subscribe to that because I also put the radio show there. Spread the word. If you think that I'm doing a good job talking about world issues, and if you think that I'm on target, then please spread that. And also, you know, I've put in the Skype number of my show. And, you know, if you're interested in that, give me a call through Skype. Email me with ideas. Because, you know, you try to call Mark Levin or you try to call Alex Jones. You know what happens. You're on hold for a couple of hours. And a lot of times he doesn't even get to you. So if you want a voice, if you want a vent, if you want to release some of your frustrations, I welcome that. Excuse me. We've got 45 minutes. I'll talk to you. We'll have a conversation. So, you know, that's up to you. So those are your daily worldwide Islamic attacks. And who knows? The day is young. There might be even more attacks. And I'll check that out tomorrow. What I want to get into, and I think this is a nice segue. I want to get into different parts of liberalism because it all falls under progressivism, it all falls under New Age, it all falls under a new direction. excuse me, I apologize, bear with me. It all falls into the releasing of the old ways, you know, archaic, and bringing in the new advanced way of thought and ideas. And, well, I personally, I want to use myself as a personal experience. Of how one side of the spectrum is faring and how the other side of the spectrum is faring. So this is going to be, this is called liberal silence, and this is about politics, but again, I think it's a good bridge to then going into the personal. This was posted on Facebook by a Facebook friend of mine named David J. Delvecchio. So I'm just going to read it off. "You," meaning the liberals, "said nothing when Obama used drone strikes to execute people abroad. You said nothing about Russia for 50 years until Trump was inaugurated." And of course, we're talking about also the latest and greatest that Hillary sold 20% of our plutonium supply to the Russians. How come she can do business? How come she can sell off our resources to make nuclear weapons as Secretary of State, but Donald Trump can't even, or any of his people, can't even have breakfast with the Russian, and now we need an investigation, and there's a call for impeachment. You said nothing about Hillary's campaign manager's brother, and I don't know if that's John Podesta's brother. I think, was John Podesta the campaign manager? Might have been. Being paid $175,000 to lift U.S. sanctions on Russia. You said nothing when Obama engaged in military interventionism in Libya without congressional approval. And of course, you know, Hillary's famous for saying, "We came, we saw, he died." And, you know, Gaddafi was doing many, many good things in Libya. And since he was taken out, Libya isn't faring so well. You said nothing as Obama greatly expanded presidential power through the use of executive orders. "I have a phone and a pen, and if Congress isn't going to do what I want to do, I'll take matters into my own hand," and basically negating an entire branch of government that we, the American people, voted for. You said nothing when Obama filled his White House with lobbyists even after he said he wouldn't. You said nothing when Obama gave 47 of his fundraisers administration jobs. You said nothing about the murders and rapes at the hands of illegal immigrants. You said nothing when Hillary's net worth rose over $100 million as Secretary of State, in part because her husband took money from foreign governments. You said nothing about Obama's net worth rose over $10 million as president. You said nothing when Obama's Justice Department wiretapped and surveilled reporters such as James Rosen of the AP. Or in the AP, rather. You said nothing when Obama restricted immigration 6 times. He restricted immigration with executive orders, not even going through Congress. I mean, the same as Trump tried to do. You said nothing when Obama set a record for deportations, and he did, but he also obviously set the record for illegal entry. And when Arizona was effective with their state bill, which went into law 1070, Obama overrode that, broke it, and Arizona is back to having problems. You said nothing when Bill Clinton met Loretta Lynch on an airport tarmac during the Clinton investigation. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Now, he has direct and irrefutable clear evidence meeting with the Attorney General. Hillary testifies not under oath on a Sunday, and then what was it? A day or two later, Comey says, "Yeah, well, you know, she did this, she did that, she did this, she did that, but I can't find a prosecutor that will take the case and prosecute Hillary Clinton. No prosecutors are willing to do it." And it's funny, Trey Gowdy, supposed to be this hawk going after the Clintons, the stand-up guy, I never heard him say, "Well, if that's true, Director Comey, can you please give me a list of prosecutors that turned you down? And I'll bet you $1 million James Comey couldn't produce any list because he didn't ask anybody, obviously." And by the way, it's up to the Attorney General anyway, and certainly the President, Barack Obama at the time, could have asked her to prosecute. But you know the answer to that. You said nothing when Hillary was given debate questions ahead of time. Still didn't help her. You said nothing when Obama and Hillary lied about a video in Benghazi. Yeah, they sure misled the American people, all right, and they used Susan Rice as the fall person. She's just like Comey. Very interesting. You said nothing when Obama's IRS abused the rights of taxpayers. Yeah, they targeted Christians and other conservative groups. If that's not abuse of power, I don't know what is. You said nothing when Obama's White House held meetings with lobbyists in coffee shops near the White House to avoid disclosure requirements. Again, usurping the law for their benefit. And nobody said a word. You said nothing when Eric Holder sold guns you hate to criminals and some were used to kill Americans. Now, I believe that refers to Fast and Furious. You said nothing when the Clintons took White House property. They raided the joint when they left. You said nothing when Hillary laughed off defending a child rapist. Yeah, a 12-year-old girl was gang raped by two adult men, and Hillary basically got them off, smeared that poor girl. It was just a travesty. You said nothing when Hillary lied about her private use of her private email server as Secretary of State, then she smashed it to smithereens. You said nothing when Janet Reno, under Bill Clinton, used a tank to kill the Branch Davidians. You said nothing when on May 13th, 1985, a bomb was dropped on a row house in Philadelphia to uproot the black liberation group known as MOVE, resulting in a fire that eventually burned down 61 houses, killed 11 people, including 5 children. You said nothing as Ilian Gonzalez was forcibly deported using guns, again, under Bill Clinton. You said nothing when George Soros paid protesters to burn parts of Ferguson, Missouri. You said nothing about states' rights until Trump's executive orders on immigration. You said nothing about the record numbers of people on government assistance under Obama. You said nothing about the number of part-time and low-paying jobs under the Obama recovery. And there's so much more. But basically, you get the idea where, you know, your people tell one story, but then you give another. You point the fingers at Donald Trump saying he and his staff should be, the whole route should be impeached because he had contact with the Russians. But you don't complain when your people has direct selling our resources to Russia. A campaign manager receiving money from the Russians to lift sanctions. That part's okay. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton building up their war chest, receiving money from foreign governments, much of them from countries that support and finance terrorism, including Saudi Arabia. You don't want the citizens to have guns. you hate guns and you're against violence, but you didn't complain when Barack Obama, through Eric Holder, sold guns to Mexico to set them up so they could commit crimes and then say, we got to get rid of guns in America. See what the Second Amendment does? When the Second Amendment had nothing to do with them selling weapons to Mexican drug cartels and they killed Americans along the southern border. See, it's a delusion of reality. It's an absolute delusion of reality. And it seems to me, and Barack Obama and the Clintons certainly were accused of being absolute narcissists. Narcissism ran wild in these people. They came off like they were better than everybody else. But you know, the evidence says otherwise. And through their false sense of confidence, they'll tell you that they're better. They'll tell you that they did such a great job. But then when you ask them directly what they truly accomplished, well, you see, they can't give you meat and potatoes. They actually can't give you real-time, list-by-list answers on what they truly accomplished, because in reality, they did not accomplish anything. They actually left more damage to people than they actually did good. And now, I believe what we're going to see is we Americans are going, I believe that still, that we're going to do better under Donald Trump. Because, see, many people want to say that Donald Trump is a narcissist too. He may have those tendencies like a lot of us have. I mean, I looked at list after list of what makes up a narcissist. And yeah, I could see myself resonating, depending on the list, either three or four of them. I can see that. And the psychologist that wrote all of these articles will say, you know, almost everybody has some sort of narcissistic tendencies, but that doesn't mean that you're a full-blown narcissist. But when you look at their checklists, and if somebody has 11, 12 out of 14, 12 out of 16, chances are they're going to be a full-blown narcissist. And if you look at Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton, I think it's fair to say, that they are full-blown narcissists. And one of the other biggest keys is that they come off as doing good and being concerned, but the truth is, they really don't have empathy for anybody. They don't have empathy or sympathy for anybody but themselves. Sure, they created this Clinton Foundation that gave you the guise that they cared about people and they did good things. But when you get independent reports of what actually happened in Haiti, they raped those people. And Hillary Clinton somehow got her brother, I believe it was either a gold, I think it was a gold mine, because I don't think Haiti has diamonds, got him a gold mine in his name. So, and they hoarded from the people. They did more damage to the people of Haiti after the hurricane than the hurricane itself. They want to tell you they want to help the American people, yet Hillary Clinton says she wanted to destroy the coal industry. A coal miner was able to have in the town hall, able to confront her. Oh, you took my words out of context. I didn't mean it that way. So, you can absolutely tell who a full-blown narcissist is. You just have to be able to see the signs. And there's this great article from lovepanky.com. Hopefully it comes up here. /my life/relations. And, oh, here we go. And so, are you in love with someone who cares more about themselves than the relationship? use these 16 signs. So narcissism is a real personality disorder that seems to be affecting more and more people as the years go by. Now, part of that reason, and I've read this in another article, is that there is this huge push for individualism. Me, me, me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And it's not, it's all about us. It's all about us. No, it's all about me. And in my personal experience, in this latest relationship I'm in, I had to hear about, well, this is my individual journey. This is my journey. I never heard that this was our journey. Never heard it. Never heard at one time that this was about us. It was her journey. So, the problem can be very hard to tell a narcissistic person from someone who just has a lot of confidence, like a Donald Trump, and who has delivered, by the way, self-made billionaire, I mean, actual tangible results. However, over time, a narcissist ends up giving themselves away through their behavior and their apparent lack of empathy. Don't forget that a narcissist is someone who worships him or herself, someone who thinks they're the best at everything, so of course, you're going to be able to pick on it very soon. Well, unfortunately, I did not. One, do you feel like you're being used? Well, yes, I did. I did feel that way. A common symptom of being in a narcissistic relationship is feeling like you're being used. Feel like you're underappreciated by your partner or that you were used as their step up. Well, I felt extremely undervalued and underappreciated. And the reasons, I could talk straight till Thursday on why that was. This is so common in narcissistic relationships because a narcissist's number one priority is themselves. Nothing else even comes close. Well, you know what? I feel that's the position I was in. Definitely. It was about her journey, her life, her deal, and I was just supposed to go along. This means they will always make sure they're okay, and they'll do whatever it takes to feel good about themselves, but they won't go to those same extremes for anyone else. Well, I mean, there you go. This often will leave the partner feeling used because essentially they are being used. Well, that's open for conjecture, I guess. I mean, I couldn't prove that. Do you feel that they overvalued you at first, but then you quickly became undervalued? Yep. I was told that this was the most important relationship. This relationship came first. It didn't even matter what her children felt about me. Nothing was going to hurt this relationship. Well, the day that I didn't agree with something, the day that I didn't say yes, the day that I didn't give blind support, that was the beginning of the end. And it just spiraled and spiraled to this point. A narcissist surrounds themselves with people they consider to be special and above the rest, but over time these people disappoint the narcissist as it's impossible to live up to their shining standards. I can see that. Once you've disappointed them, you become much less interesting to them. Well, see, there you go. There you go. And I became a disappointment. And the relationship became less and less and less interesting. And I became more and more marginalized. Do they get under your skin? Narcissists convey a huge amount of confidence, far more than the average person would dare to have. And because of this, it can be easy for them to get under your skin. If a person conveys that much confidence, then it tricks your brain into wanting to find out why they have this high sense of self-pride. They must be really great if they're confident, right? This is how narcissists work. They trick people into believing they're brilliant. They make people want to get to know them, and they make sure the world revolves around them. Do they take hourly selfie of themselves? Well, this one doesn't apply. But people always want to present their best sides online. Sure, always wanting to look good there. Do they spend a lot of time at the gym? Well, that's not applicable. Do they always turn the conversation onto themselves? Well, kind of. Do you feel like you ever have the empathy? No. Nope. I feel like my feelings were discarded and discounted. Are they always focused on themselves? My journey, my time. You see, this was the biggest one. How does your partner react to their pride being hit? Most people don't deal well with their pride being hit, but a narcissist can't handle it at all. You see, underneath all the confidence that a narcissist spews out, there isn't a confident person. That's why they go to such extremes to make sure they surround themselves with people who stroke their ego. And, well, quite frankly, yeah, I've made that accusation that she has surrounded herself with people that parrot the same things that she says, and they look at her with awe. And unfortunately, that permeated into our relationship, and the rest is history. Has your relationship ever been threatened because of your partner's pride? Well, I think that's what ended it. Do they tend to take things farther than most? Again, this is similar to the last question. When you argue with your partner, do they tend to take things further than you would? Are they always threatening to leave unless you see things from their side? Do they always make sure that you are left in the wrong? Yeah, every single time I was wrong. And yes, she did start that in the beginning. Well, if you're not happy here, why don't you just leave? If you're not happy here, I'll try to get you your money you invested, and you can leave. And then I got to the point where, well, let's put up a shut up. And so here we are. Can your partner accept responsibility for things they have done? This is huge. I never get an apology. Never. Never gotten an apology. So these are the things. I'm going to talk more on this. I am in the weeks and months ahead, because, you know, I think it's important that when building a relationship, before taking that last step into marriage and buying a home, it is really important to know as best you can what you're getting into. And I'm not saying that I didn't make mistakes. Yes, I did. And the biggest mistake on my end, yeah, I did talk to people outside of our relationship. Well, you know what? Also, people ask me, was I really married? Are you really her husband? And that's a springboarded conversation. And the rest is history. And considering the fact that I'm down here in Texas for 3 years, I don't have any friends down here. All my human contact was with her people. So where am I going to go? And bottom line, I asked to see a marriage counselor and she refused. That's just the end of the story. And it was quite clear that we couldn't have a conversation and make any headway, and we needed a referee, because that referee would have pointed out flaws in both of us. And with a narcissist, you can't have that. So it's important to know your partner. I'm going to wrap up here. Thank you for listening. And tomorrow we'll get into more of what, you know, more enough about me. We'll get into more of world events. So my name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time. Keep the faith.